the monthly devotions of Holy Mother Church with Father Shannon Collins. The Mass that will never die. In this talk, Father discusses current legislation regarding the traditional Latin Mass, a rite which may never be abrogated by any earthly or church authority, despite pending rumors.
In this month of July, I would like to focus in on a particular document, motu proprio of our Holy Father in the past, Pope Benedict XVI, known as Summorum Pontificum, which was released on July 7th, 2007, and eventually that particular document on the making normal of the traditional Latin Mass was promulgated fully on September 14th, 2007. And so let us consider that important motu proprio of Pope Benedict XVI, Summorum Pontificum. Let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Many of you are familiar with St. Helen. St. Helen was the mother of the Emperor Constantine, and she was the foundress of the true cross of Christ. Even before they embraced Christianity, St. Helen and her son saw the power of the cross and saw it as a great treasure. Constantine, it is said, seeking to defeat his enemies and to establish his reign, prayed to the true God. He asked for a sign of victory. The Almighty answered the prayer of this pagan with the vision in the sky of a flaming cross along with the words, in hoc signum vinces, in this sign, the sign of the cross, you shall conquer. Immediately, Constantine ordered that a cross be made and that the symbol of victory would become the standard of the whole army. Later, Constantine would receive a special message from the good Lord in a dream just before a decisive battle. He ordered that his soldiers paint a cross upon all their shields. And in October of the year 312 AD, Constantine and his army gained victory at the Battle of Milvian Bridge. He later entered Rome as a conqueror. Constantine would then legalize the Christian religion throughout the entire Roman Empire, and would eventually be baptized himself. Now, St. Helen, the mother of the great Emperor Constantine, wished to find this treasure that had brought victory to her son, namely the cross. She went down to the Holy Land in the early part of the 4th century to find the actual wood upon which Christ was crucified. 200 years before her arrival, a pagan emperor had covered up Mount Calvary with a large mound of dirt. Also, the same emperor dedicated a temple to the goddess Venus upon the very site that our Lord laid down his life in atonement for our sins. And all this was done to stop believers, stop Christians from worshiping the crucified one at this most holy site. But when St. Helen came to Jerusalem years later, she had that pagan altar and that pagan temple absolutely destroyed. She then hired more than 100 workers to dig into that mound of earth until they found a number of crosses that had been used for executions in earlier times. St. Helen eventually identified the cross of our Lord when a cripple was healed and a dying woman was cured at the touch of one particular piece of wood. A large section of the cross of Christ was placed in a church in Jerusalem. But in the year 615 AD, this most precious treasure, this most holy of all relics, was stolen by the king of Persia. After many prayers and lots of fasting, as well as a major battle, the true cross was recovered and brought back to the holy city of Jerusalem. According to witnesses, The victorious emperor carried this precious treasure of the cross in a silver case upon his shoulders. But as he was about to enter Jerusalem, he found himself unable to take another step. The bishop of that city then suggested that the emperor disrobe of all of his gold and silk and enter the city barefoot as would a poor and humble man. Having done so, the emperor was able to bring the true cross back into the holy city. Now, perhaps our dear Lord had allowed this most precious relic, this holy treasure, to be removed for a time so that the members of the church would ever more appreciate Christ's instrument of victory over sin, death, and Satan. That the church, like Our Lady of Sorrows, would long once again to stand at the foot of the cross. We know that that document I mentioned earlier, Summorum Pontificum, of Pope Benedict XVI, was written and released on July 7, 2007, but it was promulgated, made, and put into effect, if you will, on September 14th of that same year, 2007. But also September 14th, Holy Church celebrates the feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. This great solemnity marks these wondrous three events, namely Constantine's vision and victory through the cross, St. Helen's finding of the true cross, and yes, the recovery of the cross after it was unjustly stolen by enemies. But that day in the calendar, September 14th, also marks the anniversary of the promulgation of Pope Benedict XVI's document, his motu proprio, Summorum Pontificum, which fully returned the treasure of the ancient rite, the traditional Latin Mass, to the spiritual life of the Church. There are, and should not ever be, more indults or special permissions granted to offer or to participate in the old Mass, which is the Mass of Rome. Not even a universal indult. The traditional Latin Mass, since that document of Pope Benedict, is not an exception to the rule, but rather a fully recognized form of worship on par with the Novus Ordo Missae and all of the rites of the Church. I've often wondered why that day, September 14th, the Triumph of the Cross, was chosen as the day to implement this ruling of the Holy Father at that time, Pope Benedict XVI. It seems fairly obvious to me. Like the cross of old, the traditional Latin Mass has been discovered again. It has been recovered and has been returned as a treasure to the Church, the New Jerusalem. Now, when Pope Benedict wrote the motu proprio, Summorum Pontificum, and I think we need to look at that document again along with the accompanying letter that was sent to help explain it further, because it seems that we're in a confusing time regarding that document, let's say. When Pope Benedict wrote Summorum Pontificum regarding the old Mass, there was an amazing sentence that should never be forgotten. A written phrase from the Holy Father that was earth-shattering. The telling and important line was, quote, "It is therefore permissible to celebrate the sacrifice of the Mass following the Roman Missal promulgated by John the 23rd in 1962, and never abrogated," unquote. Again, the Pope stated in the past, 2007, the old Mass was never abrogated, never officially oppressed, never forbidden by law, but always allowed. And to emphasize this point, Pope Benedict, in a letter, again, that accompanied this motu proprio, a letter to the bishops, Pope Benedict wrote, quote, "What earlier generations held as sacred remains sacred and great for us too, and it cannot all of a sudden be entirely forbidden or even considered harmful," unquote. We need to remember those words when we see the Latin Mass is once again an object of attack from enemies. In short, there were no written texts officially outlawing the celebration of the old rite, juridically speaking, in the past. It was never abrogated. As Pope Benedict's favorite liturgist, Monsignor Klaus Gamber, once said, not a single document exists expressly mentioning the right, R-I-G-H-T, of the Holy See to modify, much less abolish, the traditional rite. It is also said that Archbishop Bognini, we remember him from perhaps some of our reading, the man put in charge of liturgical reform revolution, especially after Vatican II, was seeking to have the old mass abolished officially with the introduction of the Novus Ordo Missae. In Bognini's own book, namely The Reform of the Liturgy, he states that he approached the Cardinal Secretary of State to apply for a legal ruling suppressing the traditional Latin Mass, the most ancient rite of all, the Mass of Rome, to suppress it. But the response of the Cardinal to Archbishop Bognini was in the negative. No. The Cardinal Secretary of State refused to give his permission to suppress on the grounds that such an attempt would be seen as casting odium, hatred, upon all liturgical tradition. Again, no official suppression was ever made. But as many of you will know, de facto, in reality, in the everyday life of the church and the Latin Rite, the old mass was, by and large, forbidden, rejected, and abandoned. A Catholic priest recounted the conversation he had with his bishop in the past. During their talk, the priest said that perhaps it was okay for Pope Paul VI to create a new rite of mass, but it was unreasonable to forbid the celebration of the traditional form of the mass. The bishop then answered the priest saying, "Oh, Father, if they had not banned the old rite, nobody would have gone to the new rite." What can we conclude then? The old mass was officially and lawfully always permitted, never abrogated, right? But practically suppressed and taken away from the spiritual life of Catholics. The conclusion is that an injustice was done. The treasure of the traditional Latin mass was, for all intents and purposes, stolen from the faithful, lifted from our parishes, taken from priests, and snatched away from the laity. And this theft, if you will, was not committed by pagan emperors of old, but rather by our own, by those who were called to preserve and protect this ancient treasure. No mounds of dirt, but mounds of bureaucracy, tons of threats and false calls to obedience, and disdainful writings about the old ways sought to bury the old mass for good and to dissuade Catholics from ever worshiping according to the traditional form. But like the true cross, perhaps our dear Lord allowed such an injustice so that we could begin to appreciate once again a treasure that had been lost for a time. That the church, like Our Lady of Sorrows, would mourn for this loss and long once again for the return of the ancient mass. We should still be celebrating on this 14th anniversary of the release of the document Summorum Pontificum, July 7th, 2007. The 14th anniversary of the motu proprio Summorum Pontificum. It's time that we should still rejoice, for the treasure has been fully recaptured and is fully restored to the Church of the New Jerusalem. And in celebrating, we ought to be thankful to Almighty God, for this is truly his work. And let us be grateful for the intercession of the Blessed Virgin and good Saint Joseph and Saint Peter and Paul. But let us also be grateful to the men who went before us and suffered to keep the traditional mass alive. That mass is the mass that will not die. That Mass is the greatest thing this side of heaven. And it's a Mass that's worth dying for. God bless you.
This presentation has been brought to you by the Fatima Center. Copyright 2021, all rights reserved. The Fatima Center operates solely on donations. Please consider making a contribution to this worthy apostolate, trusting that God, who is never outdone in generosity, will reward you. To contact us, please call 1-800-263-8160 or visit our website, www.fatima.org. And we encourage you to share this presentation with others. Pope St. Pius V and St. Gregory the Great, pray for us.